In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, open thou the eyes of my heart, that I may hear thy word, and understand, and do thy will, for I'm a sojourner upon the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me, but open mine eyes, that I may perceive the wonders of thy law. Speak unto me the hidden and secret things of thy wisdom. On thee do I set my hope, O my God, that thou shalt enlighten my mind and understanding with the light of thy knowledge, not only to cherish those things which are written, but to do them, that in reading the lives and sayings of the saints I may not sin, but that such may serve for my restoration, enlightenment, and sanctification, for the salvation of my soul and the inheritance of life everlasting. For thou art the enlightenment of those who lie in darkness, and from thee cometh every good deed and every gift. Amen. Today is March the 21st, 2025. We will be reading Proverbs chapter 21 and continuing our reading from Paradise Lost, book 10. I forget where we left off. Let's see, where did we left off? Where did we leave off, I meant? Oh, yes, it looks like Adam's being approached by an angel. All right, so we'll have to see what Michael there, the angel, has to say today. Let's start with Proverbs chapter 21. In the Lord's hand, the king's heart is a stream of water that he channels toward all who please him. A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the unplowed field of the wicked, produce sin. A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. The violence of the wicked will drag them away, for they refuse to do what is right. The way of the guilty is devious, but the conduct of the innocent is upright. Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. The wicked crave evil. Their neighbors get no mercy from them. When a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. By paying attention to the wise, they get knowledge. The righteous one takes note of the house of the wicked and brings the wicked to ruin. Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. A gift given in secret soothes anger, and a bribe concealed in the cloak pacifies great wrath. When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. Whoever strays from the path of prudence comes to rest in the company of the dead. Whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich. The wicked become a ransom for the righteous, and the unfaithful for the upright. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife. The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. Whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. One who is wise can go up against the city of the mighty and pull down the stronghold in which they trust. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. The proud and arrogant person, mocker is his name, behaves with insolent fury. The craving of a sluggard will be the death of him, because his hands refuse to work. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. The sacrifice of the wicked is detestable, how much more so when brought with evil intent? A false witness will perish, but a careful listener will testify successfully. The wicked put up a bold front, but the upright give thought to their ways. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. And that is Proverbs 21. Let us open up our book here, Book 10 of Paradise Lost. I believe we're on page 239. Oh, maybe not. Maybe it's 238. Perhaps here. Let's see here. I remember reading, "As in a glistening zodiac hung the sword, Satan's dire dread, and in his hand the spear." Then Adam bowed. Let's see. "Adam, heaven's high behest no preface needs." Okay. We've read that. Okay, "To remove thee, I am come. The ground whence thou wast taken, fitter soil." Okay, no, maybe we are in the next page, because I remember this too. "Oh, unexpected stroke, worse than of death, must I thus leave thee paradise?" Yeah, he talked about how he maintained the garden, how he gave everyone names, all the animals. Let's see here. I don't remember this, so maybe this is where we left. So we'll do some of what I believe to be overlap. "At even, which I bred up with tender hand, from the first opening bud, and gave ye names, who now shall rear ye to the sun, or rank your tribes, and water from the ambrosial font. Thee, lastly, nuptial bower, by me adorned, with what to sight or smell was sweet, from thee how shall I part, and whither wander down into a lower world, to this obscure and wild, and wild. How shall we breathe in other air, less pure, accustomed to immortal fruits?" Whom thus the angel interrupted mild, "Lament not, Eve, but patiently resign what justly thou hast lost, nor set thy heart thus over fond on that which is not thine. Thy going is not lonely, with thee goes thy husband. Him to follow thou art bound. Where he abides, think there thy native soil. Adam, by this from the cold sudden damp recovering, and his scattered spirits returned, to Michael thus his humble words addressed. Celestial, whether among the thrones or named of them the highest, for such of shape may seem prince above princes, gently hast thou told thy message, which might else in telling wound, and in performing end us, what besides of sorrow and dejection and despair our frailty can sustain. Thy tidings bring departure from this happy place, our sweet recess, and only consolation left familiar to our eyes, all places else inhospitable appear and desolate. Nor knowing us nor known, and if by prayer incessant I could hope to change the will of him who all things can, I would not cease to weary him with my assiduous cries. But prayer against his absolute decree no more avails than breath against the wind, blown stifling back on him that breathes it forth. Therefore, to his great bidding I submit. This most afflicts me, that departing hence, as from his face I shall be hid, deprived his blessed countenance, here I could frequent with worship place by place where he vouchsafed presence divine, and to my sons relate. On this mount he appeared, under this tree, soon visible, among these pines his voice I heard, here with him at this fountain talked. So many grateful altars I would rear, of grassy turf, and pile up every stone, of luster from the brook, in memory, or monument to ages, and thereon offer sweet-smelling gums and fruits and flowers, in yonder nether world, where shall I seek his bright appearances or footstep trace? For though I fled him angry, yet recalled to life prolonged and promised race, I now gladly behold, though, but his utmost skirts of glory, and far off his steps adore. To whom thus Michael, with regard benign, Adam, thou knowest heaven his, and all the earth, not this rock only. His omnipresence fills land, sea, and air, and every kind that lives, fomented by his virtual power and warmed. All the earth he gave thee to possess and rule, no despicable gift. Surmise not then his presence to these narrow bounds confined of paradise or Eden. This had been perhaps thy capital seat, from whence had spread all generations, and had hither come from all the ends of the earth to celebrate and reverence thee, their great progenitor. But this preeminence thou hast lost, brought down to dwell on even ground, now with thy sons. Yet doubt not, but in vale, but in valley and in plain, God is as here, and will be found alike present, and of his presence many a sign still following thee, still compassing thee round with goodness and paternal love, his face express, and of his steps the track divine, which that thou mayest believe and be confirmed, ere thou from hence depart, now know I am sent to show thee what shall come in future days to thee and to thy offspring, good with bad, expect to hear, supernal grace contending with sinfulness of men, thereby to learn true patience, and to temper joy with fear and pious sorrow, equally inured by moderation either state to bear. Prosperous or adverse, so shalt thou lead safest thy life, and best prepared endure thy mortal passage when it comes. Ascend this hill, let Eve, for I have drenched her eyes, here sleep below, while thou to foresight wakest, as once thou slept'st, while she to life was formed. To whom thus Adam gratefully replied, Ascend, I follow thee, safe guide the path thou lead'st me, and to the hand of heaven submit, however chastening to the evil turn my obvious breast, arming to overcome by suffering and earn rest from labor won. If so, I may attain. So both ascend in the visions of God. It was a hill of paradise the highest, from whose top the hemisphere of earth in clearest ken stretched out to amplest reach of prospect lay. Not higher that hill, nor wider looking round, whereon for different cause the tempter set our second Adam in the wilderness, to show him all earth's kingdoms and their glory. His eye might there command whatever stood city of old or modern fame, the seat of mightiest empire, from the destined walls of Kambalu, seat of Kathian Khan, and Samarkand of Oxus, Temer's throne, to Pakin of Sinaian kings, and thence to Agra and Lahore, of great Mogul down to the golden Chersonis, or where the Persian or Akbatan sat, or since the Hispahan, or where the Russian Tsar in Moscow, or the Sultan in Byzance, Turkestan born, nor could his eye not ken the empire of Negus, to his utmost port Erkoko, and the less maritime kings, Mombasa and Kiloa, and Melind, and Sofala, thought Ophir to the realm of Congo and the Angola farthest south, or thence from Niger flood to Atlas Mount the kingdoms of Almansor, Fez and Sus, Morocco and Algiers, and Tremisen. On Europe thence, and where Rome was to sway the world, in spirit perhaps, he also saw rich Mexico, the seat of Moctezuma, and Cusco in Peru, the richer seat of Atabalipa, and yet unspoiled Guiana, whose great city Guerion's son call El Dorado. But to nobler sights, Michael from Adam's eyes the film removed, which that false fruit that promised clearer sight had bred, then purged with Euphrasy and Rue, the visual nerve, for he had much to see, and from the well of life three drops instilled so deep the power of these ingredients pierced even to the inmost seat of mental sight, that Adam, now enforced to close his eyes, sunk down, and all his spirits became entranced. But him the gentle angel by the hand soon raised, and his attention thus recalled. Adam, now open thine eyes, and first behold the effects which thy original crime hath wrought in some to spring from thee, who never touched the accepted tree, nor with the snake conspired, nor sinned thy sin, yet from that sin derive corruption to bring forth more violent deeds. His eyes he opened, and beheld a field, part arable and tilth, whereon were sheaves new reaped, and other part sheep walks and folds, if midst An altar, as the landmark stood, rustic of grassy sword. Thither, anon, a sweaty reaper from his tillage brought first fruits, the green ear, and the yellow sheaf, uncalled as came to hand. A shepherd next, more meek, came with the firstlings of his flock, choicest and best, then sacrificing, laid the inwards and their fat, with incense strewed, on the cleft wood, and all due rites performed. His offspring, soon propitious fire from heaven, consumed with nimble glance and grateful steam, the others not, for his was not sincere. Whereat he inly raged as they talked, smote him into the midriff with a stone that beat out life. He fell, and deadly pale, groaned out his soul with gushing blood effused. Much at that sight was Adam in his heart dismayed, and thus in haste to the angel cried, "O teacher, some great mischief hath befallen that meek man, who well had sacrificed, is pity thus and pure devotion paid?" To whom Michael thus, he also moved, replied, "These two are brethren, Adam, and to come out of thy loins, the unjust the just hath slain. For envy that his brother's offering found from heaven acceptance, but the bloody fact will be avenged, and the other's faith approved loose no reward. Though here thou see him die, rowling in dust and gore, to which our sire, alas, both for the deed and for the cause. But have I now seen death? Is this the way I must return to native dust? O sight of terror, foul and ugly to behold, horrid to think, how horrible to feel." To whom thus Michael, "Death thou hast seen in his first shape on man, but many shapes of death, and many are the ways that lead to his grim cave, all dismal, yet to sense more terrible at the entrance than within. Some, as thou sawest, by violent stroke shall die, by fire, flood, famine, by intemperance more in meats and drinks, which on the earth shall bring diseases dire, on which a monstrous crew before thee shall appear, that thou mayst know what misery the inabstinence of Eve shall bring on men." Immediately a place before his eyes appeared, sad, noisome, dark, a lazar house it seemed, wherein were laid numbers of all diseased, all maladies, of ghastly spasm, or racking torture, qualms of heart-sick agony, all feverous kinds, convulsions, epilepsies, fierce catarrhs, intestine stone and ulcer, colic pains, dropsies and asthmas, and joint-racking rheums. Dire was the tossing, deep the groans, despair intended the sick busiest from couch to couch, and over them triumphant death his dart shook but delayed to strike, though oft invoked with vows as their chief good and final hope. Sight so deformed, what heart of rock could long dreary to behold? Adam could not, but wept, though not of woman born. Compassioned, quelled his best of man, and gave him up to tears, a space till firmer thoughts restrained excess, and scarce recovering words his plaint renewed. O miserable mankind, to what fall degraded, to what wretched state reserved, better end here unborn. Why is life given to be thus wrested from us? Rather, why obtruded on us thus? Who, if we knew what we receive, would either not accept life offered, or soon beg to lay it down, glad to be so dismissed in peace? Can thus the image of God and man created once so goodly and erect, though faulty sense, to such unsightly sufferings be debased under inhumane pains? Why should not man, retaining still divine similitude in part, from such deformities be free, and for his Maker's image sake exempt? Their Maker's image, answered Michael, then forsook them, when themselves they vilified to serve ungoverned appetite, and took his image, whom they served, a brutish vice, inductive mainly to the sin of Eve. Therefore, so abject is their punishment, disfiguring not God's likeness, but their own. Or if his likeness, by themselves, defaced, while they pervert pure nature's healthful rules to loathsome sickness, worthily, since they God's image did not reverence in themselves. I yield it just, said Adam, and submit. But is there yet no other way besides these painful passages, how we may come to death and mix with our connatural dust? There is, said Michael, if thou well observe the rule of not too much, by temperance taught in what thou eatst and drinkst, seeking from thence due nourishment, not gluttonous delight, till many years over thy head return. So mayest thou live, till, like ripe fruit, thou drop into thy mother's lap, or be with ease gathered, not harshly plucked. For death mature, this is old age. But then thou must outlive thy youth, thy strength, thy beauty, which will change to withered, weak, and gray. Thy senses then, obtuse, all taste of pleasure must forego, to what thou hast, and for the air of youth, hopeful and cheerful, in thy blood will reign a melancholy damp of cold and dry, to weigh thy spirits down, and last consume the balm of life, to whom our ancestor. Henceforth I fly not death, nor would prolong life much, bent rather how I may be quit, fairest and easiest of this cumbrous charge, which I must keep till my appointed day, of rendering up. Michael to him replied, nor love thy life, nor hate, but what thou livest, live well. How long or short permit to heaven, and now prepare thee for another sight. He looked, and saw a spacious plain, whereon were tents of various hue. By some were herds of cattle grazing, others whence the sound of instruments that made melodious chime was heard, of harp and organ, and who moved their stops and chords was seen. His volant touch instinct, though all proportions low and high, fled and pursued transverse the resonant fugue. In other parts stood one who at the forge laboring, two massy clods of iron and brass had melted, whether found where casual fire had wasted woods on mountain or in vale, down to the veins of earth, thence gliding hot to some cave's mouth, or whether washed by stream from underground. The liquid ore he drained into fit molds prepared, from which he formed first his own tools, then what might else be wrought fulfill or graven in metal. After these, but on the heather side a different sort, from the high neighboring hills, which was their seat, down to the plain descended by their guise, just men they esteemed, and all their study bent to worship God aright, and know his works not hid, nor those things lost which might preserve freedom and peace to men. They on the plain long had not walked, when from the tents behold a bevy of fair women, richly gay in gems and wanton dress. To the harp they sung soft amorous ditties, and in dance came on. The men, though grave, eyed them, and let their eyes rove without rein, till in the amorous net fast caught, they liked, and each his liking chose. And now of love they treat till the evening star, love's harbinger, appeared, then all in heat, the light of the nuptial torch, and bid invoke Hymen. Then first to marriage rites invoked, with feast and music all the tents resound, such happy interview and fair event, of love and youth not lost. Songs, garlands, flowers, and charming symphonies attached the heart of Adam, soon inclined to admit delight, the bent of nature, which he thus expressed. True opener of mine eyes, prime angel blessed, much better seems this vision, and more hope of peaceful days portends, than those two past. Those were of hate and death, of or pain much worse. Here nature seems fulfilled in all her ends. To whom thus, Michael, judge not what is best by pleasure, though to nature seeming meet, created as thou art, to nobler end, holy and pure, conformity divine. Those tents thou sawest, so pleasant, were the tents of wickedness, Wherein shall dwell his race who slew his brother? Studious they appear of arts that polish life, inventors rare, unmindful of their maker, though his spirit taught them, but they his gifts acknowledged none. Yet they beauteous offspring shall beget, for that fair female troop thou sawst, that seemed of good goddesses, so blithe, so smooth, so gay, yet empty of all good wherein consists woman's domestic honor and chief praise, breed only and completed to the taste of lustful appearance, to sing, to dance, to dress, and toil the tongue and rule the eye. To these that sober race of men, whose lives religious titled them the sons of God, shall yield up all their virtue, all their fame, ignobly, to the trains and to the smiles of these fair atheists, whom and now swim in joy, ere long to swim at large and laugh, for which the world ere long a world of tears must weep. To whom thus Adam of short joy bereft, O pity and shame! And they who live well entered so fair should turn aside to tread paths indirect or in the midway faint. But still I see the tenor of man's woe holds on the same. From woman to begin, from man's effeminate slackness it begins, said the angel, who should better hold his place by wisdom and superior gifts received. But now prepare thee for another scene. How about we stop here? We will do the next scene next time. It's sort of interesting how Milton here said the hill there on top of is the same hill that Jesus was tempted on. And we're getting really close to the end, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in, and glory to God for all things. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and forever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.